from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We'll be talking about how fiber helps your intestines, University of California, Davis, and a link between biological clock and aging is revealed. And what I said yesterday, they're confirming today. University of California at Irvine, about when you lower the calories in your diet, your biological clock ticks slower. You live longer. Also, there is an herb that's a potent weapon against antibiotic-resistant bacteria, University of Beira Interior in Portugal. That's against the MRSA, which is methicillin-resistant S. aureus infection. That kills over 80,000 people a year. Also, a tumor blood supply is stopped in its tracks by, according to the University of New South Wales in Australia, a natural compound. I'll tell you what that compound is. And also, the Victor Chang Cardiac Research Institute in Australia found that a particular group of vitamins cuts miscarriages and birth defects right down the line, so you can have a better chance of having a child. And a lot more on health and healing. Then continuing from yesterday, you talk about a coincidence. Remember I was talking about what has happened to our rights and what happens when we don't become involved, because it's not our property being confiscated, our body being violated, our rights being taken away. We tend not to allow that to bother us. We have other things to worry about. Well, I'm going to quote something today from the Washington Post, from one particular journalist there, to show you how far we have fallen in honoring our Constitution and Bill of Rights and our human rights. Even children are being taken away. And this continues with just how bad the police state is. Now, Protective Services, when was the last time you saw any major publication do an investigation of what happens when a child is taken away? Where are they put in these foster homes? Well, we took a look, and it's really bad. The whole system is working against the child's interest. I'll explain that. Also today, we're going to examine, if time permits, something that I've seen during my entire career, and that is what Dr. Gary Coles, a medical doctor, calls the Semmelweis reflex, meaning what happens when you have absolute proof that everything being done in a particular area of medicine is wrong. Well, will medicine then take a look objectively, verify your claims, and then change? Or will it reject any new medical evidence that contradicts and refutes the established norms? So it's a good lesson in history for all of us who have a background, and I happen to have a doctorate in public health science as well as human nutrition. It's one of the first things you learn is don't accept consensus in science. Because when science becomes orthodox and rigidifies itself, when it calcifies itself to any new ideas, then it's no longer science. It's propaganda. So we're going to explore that. Also, time permitting today, we're going to take a look at why you should never speak to the police. And it's by a professor of law. And he's joined in this forum by a chief of police. So it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say. Additionally, we have Lee Camp talking about Monsanto and how Google is censoring any website or information it deems politically inappropriate. In fact, are you aware that Hillary Clinton, making a new run for president, by the way, don't believe a single thing that A, ever comes out of any of Clinton's mouths, B, their supporters and technocrats who run major corporations, especially media, all she's doing is trying to reposition herself so that there's not a swing towards Bernie and the millennials who support Bernie But then again, I don't support Bernie because Bernie led every one of those young idealists right into the hands of the Democratic Party, which is a completely fed and corrupt party, just like the Republican Party is. So we're going to take a look at what it means when Internet servers decide you were not going to allow to post an article, or you were not going to allow you to write anything that is derogatory against a particular industry, maybe vaccines, or maybe GMOs, or maybe, and then the list goes on. And right now there are over 100 organizations that are, for all intents and purposes, censored on the Internet. Yet when I took a look at these organizations, these are some of the finest organizations providing the best information, honest information out there. The public's not aware of it, and therefore they'll only get one side of a story. So we have a lot to share, and we always like to begin with things that empower people, things that no matter what your perspective, economic background, you can still benefit from. Well, fiber is one of the things we all need every day, and we need a lot of it, a lot more than what we're getting. Ideally, between 40 to 50 grams of high-quality fiber, and that fiber should come from mixed fibers, meaning some fruit fibers. The best would be blueberries and pomegranates. And then fibers from legumes, like your pulses and your bean family, your grain family, not just rolled oats, and then also vegetables. So when you have a combination of all those fibers, you're going to have a healthier gut microbiota. And according to Science Magazine, a University of California Davis researcher discovered how byproducts of the digestion of dietary fiber by gut microbes act as the right fuel to help intestinal cells maintain gut health. And so it's talking about partners in the body's defense against potential infection agents like Salmonella. Quote, our research suggests that one of the best approaches to maintaining gut health might be to feed the beneficial microbes in our intestines dietary fiber, their preferred source of sustenance. And this was the professor of medical microbiology and immunology at University of California, Davis. Quote, while it is known that the gut is the site of constant turf wars between microbes, our research suggests that signals generated by beneficial microbes drive the intestinal tract to limit resources that could lead to an expansion of potentially harmful microbes. By the way, they found that gut microbes metabolize indigestible dietary fiber to produce short-chain fatty acids, which signal cells lining the large bowel to maximize oxygen consumption, thereby limiting the amount of oxygen diffusing into the gut lumen. And that's the open space between the intestine that comes in direct contact with the digested food. So in lay language, here's how you look at this. Every time we eat or drink anything, the body is going to try to find a way of using it to our betterment. If we're having the standard American diet, and especially alcohol, then that destroys the good bacteria. In effect, it destroys the microbiome. Now, we know that we have billions, hundreds of billions of cells in the intestine, the bacteria, that communicate with bacteria throughout the rest of the body. Now, we do not know how they communicate. Is it a magnetic signal, electric signal, a chemical signal, some combination? We're not sure. But we do know that when we have good food, the type we talk about every day on this program, and good beverages like water, clean water, and juices, that creates new bacteria and then furnishes fuel for the existing bacteria. And that swings the balance to what we call positive homeostasis, meaning you're more healthier than you are sick. You're promoting wellness rather than disease. Now, we may not think that's important, but it is very important. I'm having several people I know pass. One I just found out about an hour ago. And interesting, because on two separate occasions, I suggested to this person that, would you like to take some time, and I'll put you on a protocol, and we'll get your system cleaned up. And no, I'm all right. And this person's partner said that they ate a lot of junk food and didn't eat healthy. Now, they were a wonderful human being and really a real hard-fighting activist for social issues and social justice. And if they only fought as hard to keep their body healthy as they did on these other issues, they'd be alive today. But I know a lot of good people who've done a lot of good work who died too soon because they didn't pay the same amount of attention to the body. The person I'm referring to, by the way, is the person who syndicates our program up in Woodstock, Randy. Her name is Randy Steele Riley. And every time I would premiere a new film, I would always take it up to Woodstock. Woodstock's a really interesting place because for almost 15 years, I had a farm up near there in Stone Ridge, the Fertile Earth Farm. And it was a short ride through the back roads over to through Accord and over to Woodstock. And that would be a fun place to go on the weekend because you could hear so much of the... Now, this is when it was really happening, right, in the early 70s through the early 80s. And it was a whole thriving hippie and counterculture up there. In fact, you could get more healthier food and restaurants up there than you could in New York City, with the exception of the Fertile Earth, which was the first gourmet vegan restaurant that I had over on 108th and Broadway, and then over on 85th and 2nd. But there, you could spend all day just sitting around, listening to music, talking politics, you know, seeing people, all the different folk singers and people who had that counterculture perspective. Today it's different. Today it's more commercialized, and a lot of the original residents simply cannot afford it because they're caught in this real estate boom. The prices go up, and a lot of people can't afford that anymore and have to kind of move further and further out. Not that they can't still be connected, but the heart of the old community is not there. And the one person, well, the two people who were causing the community to stay together with this little radio station, and they play, you know, they play a lot of good Guns and Butter, Bonnie Faulkner, and they also originate some programs, was Randy. And they did it all as volunteers. I asked him, this morning, I said, well, how much are you making a month? And he said, oh, sometimes $50, most maybe $200 a month. How do you run a radio station on $50 to $200 a month? Well, if you love what you're doing and you're broadcasting from your home, you make it happen. And so good for all the good work they've done, and hopefully they'll keep the music going. And I will continue. In fact, when I come back to the city next, I'll be premiering my newest film, which I just finished filming the last interview for in California yesterday. And quite simply, I needed someone that would stand out from everyone else. And boy, did this guy stand out. Wow. He has so much new information on. I can't go into the topic or the theme yet, but it gave a really strong heartbeat to the whole film. And I'll premiere it in New York. I'll premiere it for our sister station, WBAI. I'll premiere it on Long Island. And I'll premiere it again up in Woodstock, because every year I go up once or twice premiering films, and it's always a packed house and always nice people, mainly older hippies. So they're still around, and it's just a nice place. We've never gone to go up and visit it as a community. In any case, when you think about, gee whiz, what would happen if, what if Randy or any of the other people I know, another person I know, is in a hospice care now, he'll pass any time, and he refuses to change. In fact, his son got on the phone with me when I called to see how he was doing, and he said, oh, I'm doing great. You know, eating salads all the day, all the time. And his son picks up the phone out of his hand and says, Dad, you're lying. Tell Gary the truth. You eat ice cream and eat French fries and pizzas all day long. And you're a diabetic with massive uncontrolled blood sugar, and blah, 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 and went through all that. And the son was really angry at it. And the son gets on the phone and says, you know, I'm so tired of all this lying. You give him all this stuff for free, and you help him, and he doesn't do a damn thing with it. He won't move. I said, well, don't be angry with him. There's nothing constructive being angry. You can be frustrated, but put your energy and your frustration in learning the lessons your father's not willing to learn. And that's something I want to mention today. I was thinking about this last night. And when I have friends that I've known for a long time who are passing, and no matter what I hope to do or choose to do, they're not going to do it. They're just not. I can mention Wendell Electronic. I can mention a lot of people. Tom Croft, George Marcus, Ron McCauley, all these people. Dean of Fairleigh Dickinson Business School, Dean Calusi. None of these people were ignorant. They all had first-row seats to how to be as healthy and de-age. Not one of them did anything right when it came to health. They were all good people, smart people, and the world is better off because they were a part of it. But there's that dark side. The dark side is that what we live in what Simon, the father of Gestalt theory said, and that is Fritz Perl, that a fear of knowing is a fear of doing. Well, I added something this morning to that. And what I added this morning, and I scribbled down a note, is this. Question the question when the answer is self-evident. Again, this might help some of you. Question the question when the answer is self-evident. Now, I'll break it down. What do I mean by that? I mean that we have a tendency to ask a million questions without processing the answers or even know whether or not the answer is accurate or legitimate or can help us. And you have no idea how many times people stop me on the street. All the time. Every day in New York. And, oh, Gary, I listen all the time. Hey, you know, great show. I'm learning so much. How long have you been listening? Oh, 25, 30 years. Why are you still smoking? Oh, and they're not even aware. They got a cigarette in their hand. Oh, you know, well, I haven't dealt with that yet. What about that fast food bag you got there with French fries and a hamburger? I'm going to work on that. But they'd ask one question. It's always some question. And almost always the question is self-evident, the answer to it. Then why do we ask it? If something is self-evident, then there's a process of cognitive disconnect or dissonance that we're not able to comprehend. Meaning when in science you present a new idea and the new idea has been proven correct and the older people don't want to change, they go into this cognitive disconnect. They disconnect from anything you're suggesting because they don't want to change their habits, their beliefs. They've invested too much in it. So then it's not the question that is legitimate. It's why we're not questioning the question, because that means we'd have to have a conversation looking in the mirror and saying, hold on a second, before you blather on and you know, ask a lot of mindless questions, why don't you ask yourself, do I know the answer to this? Is it self-evident? Could I find the answer? Am I willing to change if I find the answer I need? Or is this just part of a game that I play each day so that I can say, well, if I listen to Gary, I must be healthy? No. To the contrary. Most people listen to this show, I'm going to say at least 80% that I've met are not healthy. They've made some changes, but it's rare to find the person that makes all the changes they need to be as maximally healthy as they could. And yet they came up with these questions. And the question is, stop for a moment. Are you going to do anything with the answer? And more often than not, the answer is no. There's always something that creates resistance. So it's the resistance that is already in full force. You ready to go? No. You're going to do that? No. You're going to move? No. You're still going to stay in the same place even though you got wiped out? Yep. You're going to change your career even though you're unhappy? Nope. You're going to change your relationship? Nope. You're going to change your spending habit? Nope. You're going to get out of debt? Nope. You think, wow, then the answer is self-evident. So we've been spending all of our time with these experts telling us what the answers to these thousands of questions is without looking back to say, didn't we have the same question last year? and the year before and the day before and the second before? Aren't we just repeating nothing new except regurgitating old things? Going to go to war because we're told it's a threat? Yeah. Should we go to war? I don't know. You tell me. No, the question is self-evident. If we learn nothing from history, then history is not a guide. It is an enabling fact of life. So the day comes when you don't question the French fries, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the sodas, the beer, the alcohol. You don't question the cell phone up to your head. You don't question where you're working, how you're sleeping, what you're sleeping on, what your cleaning materials are made of, whether or not your toothpaste has fluoride, whether or not your water has chemicals in it. You don't question who you vote for, because that would mean you're going to go through a period of discomfort. We don't like be out of comfort. Comfort addiction is our number one addiction. And then we keep eating the wrong foods, and then one day we have the heart attack. And one day everyone's saying, but why? And the answer is self-evident. Question the question when the answer is self-evident, and then you're having an honest dialogue with yourself. Next up, so now we have a study from the University of California at Irvine, published in the peer-reviewed journal Cell, that talks about, and doesn't this sound familiar? I talked about this yesterday. Quote, scientists studying how aging affects the biological clock's control of metabolism have discovered that a low-calorie diet helps keep these energy-regulating processes humming and the body younger. Well, that's exactly what I was saying yesterday, that way back in the 1970s, I had proven by periodic fasting, I could extend the lifespan substantially of lab animals, and then later in clinical practice, I would put people on modified fasts. They were still getting all the nutrients that they needed, but they were getting them in liquid form and low calorie, and you could see a total rejuvenation. Well, now we know, based upon the newest science in stem cell rejuvenation, that when we're taking concentrates of green and concentrates of red and concentrates of purple, we are flooding the body with new progenitors of stem cells. I just got on the phone this morning with someone who's well known in the media, who's been a friend of mine for a long time, and we used to run marathons together, and I keep in touch, and we'll go for a run in the park every couple weeks. And out of nowhere, because he doesn't smoke or drink, he had a heart attack. And he had a heart attack, and now we can understand that it was due to oxidative stress. Now, how many times have I said, you've heard me say, running 3 miles a day is good, but going beyond that creates massive oxidative stress, and that's bad. You can actually prematurely age your cells. And in fact, long-distance runners really look old, and their body's old, even though they're not chronologically old. And I've even mentioned on several occasions the case of one guy, and he stuck out because he was young, strong, and would be training for marathons, and he'd be racing right beside us at a 6 minute per mile pace for 13 miles. He never went further or less. He never did an off time, meaning he never did like a 7 minute. It was always the same. And then I didn't see him for a long time. And I remember once when he was running with us around the park, he and Franco and I said to him, I said, you know, the type of training you're doing without racing and then giving yourself a rest, you're prematurely aging the cells in your musculature, and the day's going to come when that muscle's going to be old. You might be 40, your muscles in your leg will be 80. Oh, no, and he just thought it was nonsense. Skip ahead about 7 years, right around Lincoln Center, I see him. He looked the same, always a nice guy, always upbeat personality. And he said, well, I said, how's it going? How's the training? Oh, I haven't been able to train in years. Why not? Well, one day I went out, and I couldn't even do a mile. It was like I had weights on my legs, like they were wearing, my feet were in concrete. I just had never happened to me in my life. And so I rested, and I still couldn't. He said, after a lot of rest and therapy and examination, they couldn't find a single thing wrong. And they tried every single experiment, test, and nobody knows why. And I said, well, do you remember the conversation we had? And I said, you're prematurely aging the mitochondria and the muscle. He said, yeah, and that's always stuck in my mind. He said, now I just do long walks that I can do. Now, that's oxidative stress. So here's the lesson to be learned. Remember, if someone's not willing to learn the lesson, learn it for them. Just like I told the young man whose father has chosen in the 35 years I've known him not to ever do anything about his health correctly. And always kind of, like W.C. Fields, that's who he'd remind you of. Same kind of personality and sarcastic sense of humor. In any case, we can look at the lessons other people are learning or not learning, the mistakes they're making, and so it's a guide to us. We do what they do, we can likely end up in the same way, or we can see what they're doing and not want to end up that way and take a different path. And so the lesson is this. Do not do long-distance training unless you're doing a given race, then give yourself 1 year rest, one full year for a marathon. Now, that doesn't mean you don't train. It means you don't train more than 3 miles a day. And then you really pay attention to the antioxidants that help keep the body cells protected from free radicals, such as vitamin C, vitamin E, coenzyme Q10, magnesium, zinc, selenium, the important antioxidants that trap the free radicals so you get the benefit of the workout, but you don't get the massive oxidative stress degradation. So anyhow, speaking this morning with my friend who's recovering from this heart attack and doing very well, we had this discussion about how, in his case, the body's compensating you. And that's when I told him that he should be aware that pomegranate is the best way of helping to get rid of the cholesterol buildup and also the plaque in the arteries. So those of you who have plaque in the arteries, focus upon things such as pomegranate concentrate about 3 times a day, a tablespoon, as well as blueberry concentrate. Those two are the best natural ways of helping to break down plaque in the body. But they said that a chamber of his heart was dead, never come back. Now, he saw several cardiologists, and so we sat together about a year ago, and he got on this advanced program, and he's very, very diligent, and he's the kind of guy that will stick to it. I mean, he's one of those people that do everything he can to stay healthy. He just didn't know that he had this this problem from his long-distance training, because in the running magazines, they don't tell you about the dangers of long-distance training. They just tell you about who's done what races, what speed they've done, the terrain, whether running barefooted or, you know, or with shoes and which shoes and which stretching. That they'll deal with. Nutrition has been a weak link. In any case, here we are. And he gets on a massive amount of green chlorophyll. And lo and behold, what they said was dead and would never recover, a whole chamber lining of his heart is completely revitalized, totally normal. And it just blew the doctors away, the cardiologists. They had no idea. How did this happen? Well, it's all those new stem cells that he's getting from all have the things in his diet that promote that. Not everything does, but that which does, if you take it in concentrated amounts, you can make a difference because it can be effective in different systems of the body and, in effect, rejuvenate. And they had never heard of NAD. They had never heard of PPQ. They had never heard of broccoli sprout concentrates. They had never heard of any of this. So now he's got, in effect, a healthy new heart. And he's still going to continue his pro-heart protocol. And now he has a chance of not having another heart attack, learning the lessons from the one he had. There's a good lesson when you learn the lessons in the right way. So once someone does that, it shows that it can be done. You don't have to have 1,000 people doing it. All you have to have is one guy walk on the moon, and then you've done it. You know, one guy break a 4-minute mile like Bannister, you've done it. Hillary climbed Mount Everest, you've done it. It then shows other people it can be done if they're willing to share that information. Whether they do or not, I don't know. In any case, it's just good information. But it also gets back to that idea that it's, if you keep putting empty calories into your body, if you keep eating the wrong diet, you are doing the reverse. This says you can slow down the aging process, the biological clock, but the opposite is always true. You can accelerate the biological clock. You can speed up the aging process, and hence you can change in a negative way the physiological aging by eating French fries, hot dogs, hamburgers, a typical American diet. Also from the University of Beira Interior in Portugal, coriander is a potent weapon against antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Now, we know that the problem of antibiotic-resistant bacteria has been deemed a public health crisis by the CDC, and especially MRSA, which is the methicillin-resistant SRAS, and it kills a lot of people. And so researchers found that in this study, they tested 12 different disease-causing types of bacteria, including E. coli and Salmonella and B. cereus and MRSA. And this was published in the Journal of Medical Microbiology. And they found that the oil of coriander was effective in inhibiting and killing these bacterial growths, especially MRSA and E. coli, two of the worst killers. Researchers found that the coriander oil worked by damaging the membrane around the bacterial cell and interfering with vital functions such as respiration and eventually causing cell death. And it's called Linalool. That's a terpenoid. And that's a chemical in the oil responsible for coriander's pleasant scent. And it's the main constituent. But the coriander oil outperformed everything else, so that's what you got to know. Just one more thing. And finally, from the University of New South Wales, which is in Australia, researchers have discovered how the modified natural compound dextran catechin, C-A-T-E-C-H-I-N, disrupts the formation of blood vessels that fuel the growth in childhood cancer, neuroblastoma. And so this is a modified natural compound that disrupts the angiogenesis or the formation of blood vessels and neuroblastoma tumors, stopping them laying down the vital supply that line that fuels cancer growth and spreads. And this was published in the Journal of Scientific Reports. Now, also, I would add to that, modified citrus pectin also works as well. Oh, one last thing. In Australia, they did some research and found that they had a breakthrough to cut miscarriages and birth defects. This was published in the New England Journal of Medicine by giving multiple vitamins, especially B3, also known as niacin, which made a big difference. So, 12 years of research, quote, our team has discovered that this deficiency can be cured and miscarriages and birth defects prevented by taking a common vitamin, that is vitamin B3 or niacin. And, of course, the ramifications are tremendous. There's about almost 8 million babies born around the world being born with birth defects every year. In the United States, miscarriages and birth defects and gene mutations are about 1 in 3, so that's important to have that. That's the latest on health and nutrition. We're 34 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. I'm going to be sharing some commentaries now and some insights. Then I'm going to open up our phones. A little challenge because I'm talking on a telephone since I'm without internet service or computer service. But my engineer, Jesse, in New York, will let me know that you're on the line, and we'll see what you have to say after I give my commentary. So you might want to have some input on it as well. Though I do want to mention that in the next 3 weeks in New York, we're going to be filming people who have made remarkable recoveries or improved their health where the traditional medical prognosis was you're not going to be able to reverse this condition. Now, it doesn't mean that these were all fatal conditions, but it means there was nothing that they could do in orthodox medicine to reverse it, yet it was reversed. Now, it can be something of my protocols, Luann Panessi, or any of the doctors, holistic nurses, any professional that you were counseled by, any that you got positive changes or cures. That's what we like to hear, because we'd like to show the world, and we're broadcast worldwide, that there's good, solid evidence to support healthy lifestyle choices. It's that simple. So you'll give a call, and you'll speak with Valerie. Our number is 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. And we had three people call in yesterday, and one of them, she told me, was a daughter calling for her mother. Her mother was in stage cancer, stage 4 cancer, and chose not to take an orthodox approach, went on natural protocols, and today, at 91, is completely free of all cancer, no cancer in her body. And I wouldn't have known that, you know, if someone hadn't called in. And those are the kind of stories that inspire people. So give a call if you have a condition that medicine cannot reverse, but you were able to by any method where there's proof that you saw someone, you had some input, and you followed it, and you reversed your condition. Now to something I began yesterday. Yesterday, I spoke of how challenging it is today at being a social activist and seeing how many of our rights have been taken away with so little concern or media attention to it. This is from Radley Balco, The Washington Post. Quote, "We've reached the point where as state actors can penetrate rectums and vaginas, where judges can order forced catheterizations, and where police medical personnel can perform scans, enemas, and colonoscopies without the suspect's consent. These tactics are about degrading and humiliating the class of people that politicians and law enforcement have deemed the enemy." End quote. Well, John Whitehead, constitutional attorney, is very concerned, one of the few, unfortunately. And he warns, and we should pay attention, that all across the country, whether we are aware of it personally or not, individuals who dare to resist or even question a police order are being subjected to all kinds of government-sanctioned abuse, ranging from forced catheterizations and forced blood draws, and roadside strip searches and cavity searches, and other, what I would consider foul, debasing acts that degrade their bodily integrity and leave them bloodied and bruised. And by the way, if you think it's just adults, think again. Americans as young as 4 years old, 4 years old, are being leg shackled, handcuffed, tasered, and held at gunpoint for not being quiet, not being orderly, or just being childlike, or not compliant enough. And government social workers actually subjected, now this is true, they subjected a 3-year-old boy to a forced catheterization after he was unable to provide them with urine as a sample. By the way, the boy wasn't even fully potty trained. So what'd they do? The boy was held down, screaming in pain, when the nurses forcibly inserted a tube into the little boy's penis to drain his bladder. and yet that was considered legal. Now, mind you, if that little three-year-old had in any way yelled or screamed at the police in full body armor, fully loaded, tasers, weapons, everything needed to protect oneself, and there could be five or ten of them, and they could all weigh, 180 to 250 pounds, they would get away with saying, we felt threatened. Okay, then maybe you shouldn't be a police officer ever. If you're threatened by a three-year-old boy or a four-year-old boy, and they have no weapons, and they're just being kids, and you've got all the weapons, and you use that as justification for handcuffing them or beating them or tasering them, then shame on the entire police union, where there's no shame there. Shame on the police themselves for allowing good police to allow bad police to exist. Shame on the judicial for allowing this. Shame on our legislators for empowering the judicial. Shame on politicians for selecting the attorney generals to put people in prison for doing no harm, more often than not, and then kids. What possible justification could you have? But you want to bet your life, all the police doing all this stuff will get away with it. It is rare for anyone ever to be held accountable. And there's no real psychological screening. There was an American, 95 years old. He was not having much energy, and he was in a nursing home in Chicago. And they wanted to take him to the hospital, and he didn't want to go. And so they called 911, and the police came. And when he was ordered to get up and go, he wouldn't. So they shot him in the chest with a shotgun. And then they handcuffed him, and he died. 95-year-old invalid. And the big, bad, tough-ass police killed him, and they got away with it. That is what you have to understand is now the new reality. If you hesitate in the face of a directive, if you mistaking, let's say, a police group crashing through your door in the middle of the night for a criminal, and you don't want to be submissive to that, you could be killed. Consider what happened to that, remember that David, what was his name, David Doa, the United Airlines passenger who, the physician who was accosted by three police, and forcibly torn out of his seat, across the armrest, and bloodied, beaten, pummeled, dragged down the aisle by the arms. All he did was merely refuse to relinquish his paid-for seat after the airline chose him randomly to be thrown off a flight. Was there congressional hearings where the head of that airline was brought in? Now, I fly a lot to do my work. I can't tell you how many times you hear, we're overbooked, who would like to get the next flight out, and you'll get $300, etc. So you have no guarantee that you won't be the one that's dealt with that way. What about all the kids who have autism or hearing impairments or dementia or some other disability that can hinder communications in the slightest way, or even in greater danger of having their actions misconstrued by the police? Police shot a 73-year-old man with dementia seven times after he allegedly failed to respond to orders to stop approaching and remove his hands from his jacket. The man was unarmed, and he was simply holding a crucifix in his hand. So they killed him. Of course, how can anyone forget that whole group? I don't know how many there were. I think there were over 10 fully armed and with bulletproof vests, and they went up to a man who was homeless, not hurt anyone. He was just homeless. And he started to come down the hill when they ordered him to, and then one guy shot him, and then they all shot him. That was out now, I think it was Albuquerque, somewhere in New Mexico, where they had the highest homicide rates of killing people who are unarmed and getting away with it. So just keep this in mind. We think it can't happen here, but big city or small town, it's the same scenario being played out over and over again, in which government agents, hyped up on their own authority and the power of their uniform, ride roughshod over the citizenry who, in the eyes of the government, are viewed as having no rights, our freedoms, especially the Fourth Amendment, continue to be torn asunder by the prevailing view among government bureaucrats. They have the right to search, seize, strip, scan, spy on, probe, pat down, taser, and arrest any individual, as I said yesterday, at any time, for even the slightest provocation. Enforce body searches, force colonoscopies, force blood draws, force breath alcohol tests, force DNA extractions, forced eye scans, force inclusion in biometric databases. That's just the new norm. And all of these incidences are sanctioned by our corrupt court system and conveniently overlooked by the legislatures. So, teach Americans of every age and skin color the painful lesson that there are no limits to what the government can do in its so-called pursuit of law and order. So here's what it comes down to. If this is a war, then we the people are the enemy. As Radley Balko notes in the Washington Post, when you're at war, it's important to dehumanize your enemy. And there's nothing more dehumanizing than forcibly and painfully invading someone's body. All the better if you can involve sexual organs. So the message being beaten, shot, tasered, probed, and stamped into our collective consciousness is simply this. It doesn't matter if you're in the right. It doesn't matter if the cop is wrong. It doesn't matter if you're being treated with less than the respect you deserve or law demands. The only thing that matters today in America, in our police state, is you comply, submit, respect authority, and generally obey without question whatever our government official, anyone who wears a government uniform, be it a police officer, social worker, petty bureaucrat, or a zoning official, tells you to do. This is what happens when you allow the government to call the shots. It becomes a bully. I'm Gary Knoll, and now I'm going to open our lines for Talk Back. Our number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And while we're seeing who would like to call in and share their points of view, we're going to play you a clip right now from a comedian who does some very good commentaries. His name is Lee Camp. And here's what he has to say about Monsanto.
What is up? Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to Redacted Tonight. I have news about Monsanto, a giant agrochemical cultural rape monster, Monsanto. I don't think that's on their sign. Monsanto is finally standing up for itself. Apparently they learned from their GMO crops, which can also stand up for themselves. And, but it's like a baby giraffe fresh out of the womb. They're all wobbly, and it's still in beta, really. So, but Monsanto is standing up against the idea that their totally awesome, my friend and yours weed killer, glyphosate, a.k.a. Roundup, also causes cancer. So it might be a weed killer and a human killer, which at least I'd save room on the label, right? Because it's killer. You know, multi-purpose, weeds, raccoons, humans, what have you, you know? A couple years ago, the World Health Organization declared that Roundup weed killer probably causes cancer. This was a big deal because it meant that a chemical sprayed into the air of millions of people for decades could be killing us. But Monsanto did the right thing. They submitted Roundup to extensive, unbiased testing and paid billions to the families who had lost loved ones. I'm kidding. They didn't. Paid billions. Oh, I can't breathe. Okay. No, Monsanto flipped out and said, we would never market a chemical that could harm humans. Then someone said, aren't you the people that created Agent Orange? The chemical sprayed by the U.S. military over Vietnam? And Monsanto said, you didn't let me finish. We would never market a chemical that could harm humans in recent years. Like the past 10 years. Anything before that, who remembers? You know, it was crazy times. Drugs, sex, bell bottoms, spraying chemicals over innocent people. Sure, I experimented, but who didn't? But then, a couple of weeks ago, Reuters put out an article defending them and saying there was a problem with the WHO's cancer classification. But the Reuters article, weirdly, is written like like it's a film noir in which the villainous scientists at the World Health Organization are trying to sinisterly help people not get cancer? When Aaron Blair sat down to chair a week-long meeting of 17 specialists at the International Agency for Research in Cancer, there was something he wasn't telling them. The epidemiologist from the U.S. National Cancer Institute had seen important unpublished scientific data showing no link between glyphosate and cancer. And his client, she had GAMS to die for. Literally. The dame was trouble, I tell you. She was a 10 and a half, but I'll say 11.
A little bit to show you when the comedians start raking on Monsanto, more people become aware of it. Now, let's go to our phones. We have Bibi from Brooklyn. Hi, Bibi, your turn.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling to find out, I heard you discuss that we should think elevated when it comes to planning ahead for places that may be safe refuge from the rising sea levels. But I wanted to know specifically if you have particular areas nationally and internationally that you would recommend.
Yes, they're in the article, which is free, and you can download it going to my website on places to live in the world, not just the United States. But I'm even changing that as we speak, because now we're seeing even more dramatic changes. For example, Mexico had two 7.1, 7.2 earthquakes within 9 days. You're now seeing Puerto Rico today hit by Category 4, and all the electricity in the entire island is out. And I was looking at photographs, and the whole island is completely devastated. Now, that's one thing to have an island devastated that has, about 3.45 million people on it. It's another thing when the island is bankrupt and has no money to rebuild its infrastructure. And it's a protector of the United States. It's not a state, but we are responsible for protecting it. It's another thing when anything we do in a public-private partnership, which means we're only going to do something if major corporate sponsors can have their corporations get the contract to go in there, and it's called cost-plus. So it might take to, let's say, put in new power lines underground that wouldn't be falling down, and put in a new water system that would not be one central water system when it's polluted, everyone's water is polluted, but rather put multiple water systems in and put in the kind of ozone filters, commercial ozone filters that could help 100,000 people drink clean water. And that would normally, let's say, cost around $5 million per project. They would charge $10 to $15 million. And so it's already bankrupt. The country, it's supposedly around $74 billion, but now it's closer to $100 billion. So you're going to see Puerto Rico in a major economic calamity over the next foreseeable years because they have no money to rebuild. They will just get by on basic subsistence, like Red Cross rations, which is garbage. And there's no money going to come there to rebuild the whole island. So whatever was in the past is not now. But every single island in the Caribbean, Dominica was completely leveled. 90% of all the roofs of all the houses were taken off. Well, they don't have the money based upon their capital to rebuild the whole place. So the places people historically wanted to go, because for years it was so beautiful and pleasant and true, but the people lived in dire poverty. So now you got to look at places that have quality climate and not severe, has rolling terrain and not flat like Houston or lower Florida at sea level, not susceptible, that has quality water and is not in drought. And that would be probably the number one country would be Ireland because it also is very progressive. And the Irish are some of the finest, thinkers and doers on the planet. And and it has a long, rich culture. So Ireland would be up at the top of my list. Spain would have been, but when I was in Spain, I decided to go out in the country, and all I saw was desert. I mean, really bad. And it's gotten really, really bad. Spain has one of the worst droughts in the world right now, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So some of the Valencia oranges and some of the places that were spectacular in their beauty are not going to have any water, so you're not going to have agriculture. So you've got to check your water tables and see where's the water come from, how much is there, and is there enough if you want to do an orchard, if you want to do sustainable gardening. Portugal is good. Now remember, it shares the same landmass with Spain, but on the ocean, it is elevated, and it has one of the finest cultures, and so Portugal is inexpensive and beautiful and has a lot of no-flood areas and does have some deep aquifers, and so it's good. But I would write off from if you took a line right across the United States, 80% of California, Utah, New Mexico, Idaho, Colorado, went clear across Kansas, Indiana, Illinois, and all down through the south, south of that. That's going to have a rough future, both because of the high incidence of gas fracking and earthquakes, because of drought, and because of flooding and soil erosion, and because of increased temperatures. So I'm not talking about having mass evacuations. I don't believe in it. I'm saying that we should plan properly, diligently, to where we want to go and move where we have sustainability and a progressive community. Northeast Texas would be the best area down there. That's where Arkansas, North Louisiana, and Texas, but it's mountain country. You don't get the flooding, and it has water, has all these lakes. It's the lake area. And then again, you go up to Wisconsin. That's good. Upper New York, Western New York, Massachusetts, but you also have to be not too close to the coast because of the flood. And then you don't want to be right in the middle of all the forests because they're burning. And the drier they get, the more these beetles infect. And you've got spruce beetles now destroying over hundreds of millions of spruce trees. Could destroy up to 6 billion. And they've destroyed over, beetle has destroyed over 100 million trees in California. You see it when you fly, because when I'm flying, I'm looking out and I'm seeing huge amounts of deforestation. In Europe, France has got nice ways of living there, and there are a lot of places inexpensively to live. So you have plenty of places to move to, all right? In the United States and around the world. Just take your time and do your research. You have time. All right? All the best. I'm Gary Nolan. We're out of time, and I want to thank you all for taking your time to listen in today. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.